Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
For those of you that might be joining us for the first time in person or online, my name is Joseph and I get the privilege of serving as the lead pastor here. It's an honor to stand before you and preach today. If I haven't met you before service, please stick around for a few moments after. I'd love to meet you. Next week is Baptism Sunday. At Crossroads, we celebrate Baptism Sunday. It's a big deal. It's the next step after salvation. Last week, we had 12 people accept Christ on Easter Sunday. Yeah. We celebrate that, but now we want to celebrate that next step in Christ, being baptized. We're starting a brand new four-week sermon series today titled Meant to Be. Everyone say, Meant to Be. Through this series, we're going to look into the mirror of God's holy word to gain a greater understanding of who we're meant to be. Who are we meant to be in Christ? That's a question every believer should ask themselves. How many of you would like to know if who you are or where you are is where you're meant to be? Let me see your hands. Some of you are exactly where you're meant to be today, but many aren't. But don't beat yourself up. Just because you aren't where you're meant to be doesn't mean you can't get to where you're meant to be. So if you're here and you need to be up here, can I state the obvious? That's just two steps. Everyone say, thank you, Captain Obvious. I don't care who you are or where you are, you can take two steps. If you can't, I'm here as your pastor to help you take those two steps. Your church is here to help you take those two steps. Your Connect group will help you take those two steps. Oh, you don't belong to a Connect group? Then you're all out of luck, bro. There's no hope for you. Join a Connect group, and they will help you take those two steps. How many of you here would say, I'm here to help others take steps in Christ? Let me see your hands. Come on, look around the room, church. We're here to help you. You don't have to do this alone. We want to help you take whatever step you need to take in Christ. If you plotted your life on a line graph, come on, work with me. We're not in school. What would it look like? Would it be steadily going up? Are you growing and maturing in Christ? Or is it more like this? Up and down, like a roller coaster ride. Or is it straight down? See, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:24 that the path of life leads upward for the wise or for the prudent, to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead. This series is like a divine stairwell. A stairwell to take us to where we're meant to be in Christ. But a stairwell means we have to climb. And climbing can be difficult. It takes work. It's not always easy to climb. Personally, I like climbing. It's a part of my workout. In fact, I run stairs. And can I say that I prefer going down? Actually, let me take that back. I prefer going up more than I do going down, because going down is easy. Feels like I'm not really getting a workout. But when I go up, it's hard. I have to push. It burns a little. How many work out? It's burning right now on the back of my quads and somewhere else back there. I like to feel the burn, right? So I prefer the climb. But it's not always easy growing, especially when you're being stretched. Here's some profound wisdom for all of you simple thinkers like me. Life is like a great stairwell. Where are you on the stairwell of life? Some of you here today are going up. You're steadily growing. You're maturing in Christ. You're discovering who you are and who you're meant to be in Christ. Some are going up, but then down. They go up, then down. Up and down. Up and down. They grow, then they fall. They mature a little and then they stumble. And their life is like a roller coaster ride, up and down. But they'll never get to where they're meant to be in Christ or in life by going up and down. And then lastly, there's those of you who are going straight down. There's some people in the sanctuary today that are going straight down. We've all been in this season where it feels like everything's falling apart. Everything's going downhill. Our marriage, our finances, our health is going downhill. But in order to get to where we're meant to be, church, we've got to go up. We've got to climb. How many of you are ready to climb? It's not always easy. But let me say this, the burn is worth the return. Because when we climb, it burns just a little. But those of you that work out, you know the burn's worth the return, and it's the same thing in Christianity. The burn is worth the return. It's not fun, but it definitely is for our benefit to grow and to mature in Christ. I know what some of you are thinking. Pastor, it would be better if the series were like a divine elevator or escalator so that we could just hop on and take the ride up. But that's not the way it works with God. Or fulfilling your purpose. Meant to be isn't about an escalator, it's about a stairwell. It's not about a ride, it's about the climb. It's about getting to where you're meant to be in Christ and in life. So let me ask you again, are you ready for the climb? Are you ready for this series? No matter where you are today, and I don't know where life has taken you. Maybe it's not where you're meant to be. But through this series, we're going to climb that stairwell to get to where we're meant to be. How many enjoyed empty? Empty was my absolute favorite series of all time so far. I want to start in Genesis chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, go back to the very beginning. The title of today's sermon is Meant to Be Like Him. Everyone say, meant to be like Him. So back to the very beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. For those of you that know your Bible, know that's not in Genesis 1, that's in John 1. Let's go to Genesis 1, verse 27. And the Bible says, God created mankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. By the way, here's a quick Hebrew lesson. The Hebrew word used for creation of males is the word squeezed. Everyone hold out your hand and squeeze it just like this. God literally reached down and grabbed some dirt and squeezed us together. That's why we're so messed up, ladies. But get this, guys. The Hebrew word for the creation of females is the word fashioned. God fashioned you ladies. Yeah, I'm a little jealous. No, I thank God every day he fashioned Tammy. How many husbands are glad that your wife is fashioned? Come on, it's okay. You're married to her. I'm not talking to the single guys. Just had to throw that in. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Let's pray. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would speak to every person. You would minister. You would encourage. You would motivate. You would convict. God, that you would deliver a message into the hearts, into the ears, into the lives of every person in this place, that they wouldn't leave here, God, without hearing from you. God, take this word, multiply it. As I break it and throw it out, God, let it be received on good ground and let it grow into a harvest. God, right now our hearts are open, our minds are open, we're ready to receive your word. In your mighty name, amen. God made Adam and Eve in his image. He created them to be like him. And the Bible says that God put them in the garden. See, this is where they were meant to be, in the Garden of Eden, all the days of their life. That's where they were meant to be. In the garden, God met with Adam and Eve. He walked with them. He talked with them. His presence was with them in the garden. That's where we're all supposed to be, church, in the garden, in his presence. And although we can't literally abide in the Garden of Eden today, we can spiritually abide in the garden of his presence. In verse 17, God said, "Do not eat from the tree of knowledge." From a whole list of do's, there's one don't. And of course, they're drawn to the one don't. It's like when I take JoJo to the park. There's a whole park to play in, to run, to jump up and down, to do whatever he wants to do. But what does he find in the park? The one place that he shouldn't be playing, in the mud. Many adults are like that. Many teenagers are like that. God gives us a whole world of things we can do. But because of human nature and because of sin, we're drawn to the things we shouldn't be doing. Many adults are playing where they shouldn't be playing today. They're playing in the mud. They're playing with fire. See, every command of God is called a commandment. And his commandments are what we're called, commanded, and meant to live by. In complete obedience. Yeah, I know we're not perfect, and his grace is sufficient for when we fall. I thank God every day for his grace. In fact, every moment. How many is with me? However, we're not meant to live as failures in our failure. No, we're meant to live somewhere higher than failure. Not that we won't fall, because we will fall at times, but we're not called to live there. We're called to live somewhere higher. We're called to live in a place of obedience. And while we may never get to perfect obedience, that has to be our goal. We have to strive to climb the great stairwell of obedience to get to where we're meant to be in Christ and in life. We have to strive. How many of you would say this morning, "I'm striving, Pastor, I'm trying, I'm taking that step to get there"? Every moment, we have to make up our minds, because the enemy is going to attack you every moment to stop you from climbing, from getting to where you're meant to be. And if we choose to live below the steps of obedience. What are the steps below obedience called? If we're here and God is calling us up here, but we don't go up here, these steps are called steps of disobedience. And if we choose to live on the steps of disobedience, the stairwell turns to an escalator going down. Because listen, church, sin will always take you down. Point number one, sin will take you below where you're meant to be. Hashtag down. In Genesis chapter 3, temptation took over. And Adam and Eve were caught with their hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. This is called the fall of man. And through the fall of man, sin separated Adam and Eve from the presence of God. Because sin will separate you from God. I said unrepented sin will separate you from God. Because remember, they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have his atonement yet. So their sin literally separated them from God. And they had to leave the garden. God sent Adam and Eve an eviction notice. Your tenancy has been terminated, God. And because of their sin, they had to leave the garden. See, their sin came through disobedience. Disobedience to God's word and disobedience to God's command. God said, you can eat from every tree in the garden except for one. Stay away from that tree, guys. It's off limits. It's forbidden fruit. Stay away. See, there's a tree that we all need to stay away from. It's off limits. It's forbidden fruit. But see, this is where Adam and Eve were meant to be, just not eating from this tree. So we can say they were exactly where they were meant to be, but they were doing exactly what they weren't meant to do. Is that you? Maybe you're exactly where you're meant to be, but you're doing exactly what you're not meant to do. I want you to know that this tree represents so much more than a piece of fruit. It represents sin. It represents disobedience. Disobedience to God and disobedience to his word. And because of their disobedience, they were drove out of the garden. They ended up living outside of where they were meant to be because of disobedience, because of greed, because of selfishness. See, they were hungry for more than what God was providing. But don't be sympathizing with them. They were in the Garden of Eden. And they weren't lacking anything in the Garden of Eden. Have you seen the pictures? Google it. The Garden of Eden is lit, y'all. The Garden of Eden had everything that they had ever dreamed of and more. They weren't lacking anything. God provided everything that they needed in the garden. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply according to his riches and glory. See, if we're not careful, greed can take you beyond his provision. And that will lead to disobedience. Greed led them to disobedience. And because of their disobedience, they no longer felt comfortable in the presence of God. So what did they do? The Bible says they ran and they hid. As a pastor, I've seen this vicious cycle of sin repeated over and over and over and over in the church. Someone messes up, they fall, they sin, and they no longer feel comfortable in the presence of God. So what do? They run and they hide. They want to get as far away from the presence of God as possible. They don't come to church anymore. See, sin not only causes reckless behavior, it causes forgetfulness. We seem to forget that God is our Father. And as our Father, he's not standing over us waiting to condemn us. Although he has to at times. That's his last resort, church. Our Father is merciful and he's standing and he's waiting to forgive us because that's his ultimate goal, to restore and redeem, not to condemn or to punish. Point number two, God prefers redemption over condemnation. But the choice is yours. I said the choice is yours. And let me say this. If redemption isn't achieved, condemnation is received. If redemption isn't achieved, condemnation is received. But what is the purpose of redemption? The purpose of redemption goes back to Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. God created us in the image of Him. So according to the Holy Bible, God wants us to be like Him. He created us to be like Him. We're meant to be like Him. So the purpose of redemption is to redeem us from sin's image to His image, from disobedience to obedience. Here's the true definition of redemption. Ephesians 4:24 says, "Put on your new nature, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." That's redemption, church. Putting on our new nature in Christ, to be like, to look like God our Father, our Creator, to be like Him, to be holy because He's holy. Isn't that what He said? Be holy because I am holy. Point number three, holiness isn't a suggestion, it's a commandment. Holiness is not a suggestion, according to God's holy word. It's a commandment. We're meant to be holy. So the purpose of redemption is to live redeemed. Psalms 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." How many of you are redeemed? Then say so. But listen, it's so much more than just saying we're redeemed. It's living redeemed. Anyone can say they're redeemed. We can wear that t-shirt. But it's more about living a redeemed life daily. In fact, anything outside of holiness is outside of redemption, outside of where we're meant to be. There's a form of Christianity in the Christian church in America today that says, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that we can believe in Jesus without repentance and continue to live in sin. And many American churches and American Christians label this the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you that's a false gospel? Yes, we're saved by grace and we live by grace. But living by grace and living in sin, is it the same thing, church? See, grace is there to pick you up when you fall, not so that you can remain in sin. His grace is sufficient for our sins. But that doesn't mean there's no consequences to sin. Sin has consequences. And I know many of you don't want to hear that this morning. But I'm not here to preach what you want to hear. I'm here to preach the Bible and the whole Bible, the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And I know you know that I'm an encourager, that I always encourage you, but I cannot encourage you in your sin. I refuse to encourage you in your sin. I'm here to encourage you out of your sin. If I encourage you in your sin, I would encourage you into the gates of hell or the pit of hell. But see, I'm not here to encourage you to hell. I'm here to encourage the hell out of you. No pun intended. Someone once said that sin wouldn't be so attractive if the wages of sin were paid immediately. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank you, Jesus. See, here's the real gospel. The penalty for sin is death, but thank God for Christ Jesus who paid the price for our sins. He paid a debt that He didn't owe. He paid a debt that we could never pay. Let me break this down for you. The cross was for our redemption. Salvation is receiving my redemption, and repentance is keeping my redemption. Come on, somebody. Point number four. Obedience leads the way, but disobedience leads us astray. I said obedience will lead you or lead the way for you, ma'am. But disobedience will lead you astray. See, disobedience will derail you from where you're meant to be in life and in Christ. It's like a train wreck. It will wreck you. Obedience will lead the way if you will obey God's holy word. And listen, I'm not here asking you to be perfect. His grace is sufficient for your sins when you fall. But there's a big difference between falling and staying down. We can't live there. We have to get up, receive his grace, and get up and move on. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says that God drove them out of the garden. Another translation says he forced them out of the garden. But let me ask you this. Did God drive them out of the garden, or did their disobedience drive them out? Their disobedience. There are places in our lives like the garden where all of us are meant to be, but our disobedience drives us away and leads us astray from those places. I don't want to live outside of my garden. I don't want to live outside of where I'm meant to be. I don't want any of you living outside of where you're meant to be. Paul said in Romans 6:16 that obedience leads to righteousness. Obedience leads the way. Obedience leads the way to righteousness, and obedience leads the way to where we're meant to be in Christ and in life. It's all about obedience. Obedience is the factor. It leads the way. But as long as we live in disobedience, we'll live outside of where we're meant to be. Adam and Eve were meant to live in the Garden of Eden all the days of their life, but they fell. And because of their sin, they were drove outside of the garden. Did God forgive them? Yes, you better believe God forgave them. But the consequences of their sin was living outside of where they were meant to be. I tried to research this during the week. You know, I wanted to see how far God drove them from the Garden of Eden. I wanted to see exactly what city he drove them to, and just to see how far, how close they were from the Garden of Eden. By the way, I couldn't find the answer. But imagine this. Imagine they were just a few steps away from the Garden of Eden. Imagine they were just a few miles away, where they had to look at it every single day, thinking, that's where I'm supposed to be. That's where I was meant to be. I was supposed to raise my kids there. I was supposed to live there. That's where I'm meant to be, peeking over the fence. Are you living outside of where you're meant to be? If I could get everyone to stand. Are you living in obedience this morning? Are you walking in disobedience? Is there a step of obedience that you know you need to take today? Is there a step that God is calling you to take today? A step of obedience. But I can't, Pastor, it's too difficult. No, I can help you, sir. I can help you. Just take a step. Come on, you can do it. Let's go. Move, move. You can do it. I'm not a drill sergeant. I'm a pastor. Is there a step of obedience that God is calling you to take? Every head bowed, every eye closed. What has God spoke to your heart this morning? Don't pass this sermon off as it was for your neighbor, it was for someone else. This was for you. God didn't bring you to Crossroads Church today just so he could speak to everyone else. He brought you here to speak to you. So what is it God is speaking to your heart today? It's not a word of conviction or condemnation. Please don't take it as condemnation. I don't preach to condemn, I preach to convict. I preach to convert. So right now, we're looking into the mirror of God's holy word. Is there a step that you need to take? Father, you see every heart. You see every person in this place. You see every family. You see every struggle. You see every mountain. You see every doctor report. You see all of our brokenness, all of our pain. God, you see the hurt of this season, the difficulty. God, you're a faithful God. Although circumstances and situations seem to have failed us, God, you're faithful. You said never will you leave us or forsake us. You're right here with us, God. Your word says you're a very present help in our times of need. So God, before we leave this place today, I pray for affirmation. I pray for those to be encouraged, God, through your holy word, that you haven't left them, God, that you haven't given up on them, that you will forgive their every sin. Your grace is sufficient. So right now, evaluate yourself. With your head bowed and eye closed, I just want you to raise your hand if there's a step that God's calling you to take. That maybe you need a little faith. Okay, you can put them down. Father, you saw the hands that were raised all over the sanctuary, from the front row to the balcony, God. God, I pray for boldness. I pray for strength. I pray that you would be that very present help, God, that we as a church body would be that present help to minister, to encourage, to walk alongside those that have a step to take, God. God, I pray that this sermon would have touched each and every heart today, God, not through condemnation, by no means. But if it's conviction, if it's encouragement, if it's motivation, if it's something that we need to change, something that we need to do more, something we need to do less, whatever it is, God, we thank you for your word. We honor you. We're ready to take that step, God, together. In your mighty name, everyone says, amen.